is our storyteller, Marion Jackson. Glad to welcome you again to the cozy fireside, the tales old and new, tales of terror and mystery, tales which have amused me as I search for new ways of committing murder, new ways of scaring victims to death. I've many such stories in my notebook. I think I shall begin so mildly with that of the haunted balcony and the woman who ventured there. And so, while we drift into a land of dreams where murder is the only reality, we trust we shall keep our promise to bring you an appointment with fear. The Thin Air by John Dixon Carr, produced by Martin C. Webster. Italy, in springtime. Italy, 10 years ago, before any strife or wrangle, and the island of Capri, 20 miles out across the Bay of Naples. Blue water dazzle under the sun. Behind you, the bone white beaches and Vesuvius, dull purple in a heat haze. Ahead, as the little steamer from Naples charges out across the bay, rises Capri. Olive trees and white roses and vineyards above the cliffs. Could young people from England find a better place to spend their honeymoon? While the guitars sing, and the warm winds blow, and the little steamer carries them.
Well, Miss Courtney?
Well, Mr. Courtney?
I can't keep it up, Lucy. I'm going to break down and I'll feel so happy.
Happy? I want to walk up and everybody I meet and say, woo! Just like that.
What I want to do is tell some social along with Jack.
I want to say, I've been married to John Courtney for practically 2 weeks. And now we're going to have a villa at Capri for a whole month.
Honestly, I like it here.
Yes. So beautiful. The kind and the sailboat. And the little lights going up the studios at night. And
two slippers. What's on?
Everything she's got aboard this ship. People have been staring.
I can't blame her for that, darling.
No, I mean, it was funny words. And Muttering. You are amazing, friend. Muttering?
Greg.
Yes, it's a friend of that. He means a new thing to me with Naples. I've been at all today.
Be careful. It's coming up to the rail now.
I like to see him wearing that white silk and fashion with you.
We're going to make money in oil wells with a real fashion cow puncher. He's part of it. He's a good fellow, too.
These people like to say anything, but he keeps looking around at me just the same as it looks. Tom?
Well?
He looks
scared. Well, this isn't time to start imagining things.
I know. Maybe I'm just so happy I'm afraid of trying to laugh.
Don't say that.
But wouldn't it be rather awful if someone did happen? And we weren't together any longer.
Wait a minute. I can't be anything else. It seems not a place to stop near a kind of a harbor. Any rocks and little gray cliffs. Mr. Granger. Mr. Granger?
Hello, young fellow.
You happen to know I'm stopping here.
Oh, that's an easy one, sir. We're stopping so that you and your good lady and anybody else who's curious can get a look at the Blue Grotto.
The Blue Grotto, of course.
Now, shake your eyes with your hand, ma'am. Now, you see that tiny little arch under the cliff?
Mm-hmm.
And all the little white rowboats coming out towards us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the first boat comes alongside, climb down that iron ladder and get in. The boatman will row you out and through the arch under the grotto. It's a big, dark cavern. The water in there looks as though it's lit up underneath with blue fire.
Nice cotton, see it,
Lucy. I'd love
to. Wait a minute. Let me give you a little tip. Comes from the boat out there. We'll go shooting under that arch like 60.
How do you like it out
there? No, no, no. But the arch isn't so high as your head. When you see it coming, lie back, flat in the boat. That is unless you want your block knocked off.
Thanks, Mr. Granger.
Well, remember.
Mr. darling. You're just as good a swimmer as you are.
Well, I'm in the boat, huh? I've almost set.
Oh, it's steady.
Now, hang on. Press the button. Sit down here beside me.
Come on, Wilson, back. What's the matter with the boat?
Easy, man. And what's that?
I've been down. It wasn't me. I was making some sort of sign.
I think it's a sign against the evil eye.
You come back?
Yes?
Come back? I've never been here before in my life.
Cut your plans, cut your oars.
The other birds are piling up behind you.
You come back. Start worrying, can't you? And God is super you. Fast off.
I wish he'd look away this way.
Iron Gate.
Well?
Iron Gate. Yes? English?
Yes. What about it?
The marriage is yes?
Yes.
You come to me, but you feel about this, yes?
Tom, how did you know that? How did you
know? He said not dead?
Dead?
Of course he's not dead. What are you talking about? You never come to Capri before?
Never.
When I tell you, he will disappear. Just like the others.
I rest on my oars and I tell you.
Tom, how did you know that was?
Yes, but the essence has gone ahead.
I tell you, there was a lady.
So much alike of you, it's close to the back of the stern.
Look, old man, I don't want to see you your business, but you've got your back to the grot.
Take this lady back. Where is she going?
Don't attack us. You'll be here about this.
Down,
Lucy. Get in your bed. Down.
Signora. Signora. Oh, I am so sorry. I almost met you get hard.
You may have nearly got your own head knocked.
Ah, excuse me. I am used to it. Now, I will row you round the blue grot.
Just a minute, Burton. This lady who disappeared from the Villa Borghese.
2 or 3 years ago, she disappeared.
Well, she looks exactly like my wife.
Veramente, signore, veramente. She was going to be married.
Well,
she was found on what we call our mother and sister. They were in the room with her. She walked out on the balcony over the sea, and nobody has ever heard of her again.
She jumped over into the sea?
A young girl going to be married. Seen herself?
No.
Then what did happen? Cross to the back, I do not know. But sometimes they say you can miss her goat.
In the blue grotto?
Si, signora. She goes just under the water, where you can see her, and turn over and over. And yet in there, she's still round her face.
Tom, let's get out of here.
You want to go, yes?
Listen. This fellow that's having it on.
I don't think he is.
Somebody ought to know what this means. It is inherited a haunted balcony where people disappear like soap bubbles, but I say it's too much. Let's go back and talk to Ginger about it.
Afraid of ghosts?
Afraid of something, anyway.
You just heard the story, Mr. Brandon.
Oh, I have to have told you about it myself. All the way out here, I've been cutting myself and thinking what an ordinary old badger I am for not telling you when I first met you in Naples. But I just hadn't the heart to, son, and that's a fact. You look too blame happy.
Is the story true?
I'd be a liar, ma'am, if I said it wasn't. Well, sit down here in the bench.
The girl did vanish.
By a first-rate miracle,
yes.
In broad daylight and within 20 feet of her mother and sister.
You don't look like a man who believes in miracles, Miss Stranger.
No, I'm not, sir. I'm just telling you what happened.
Why is everybody so excited? They must have thrown her off the balcony.
Josephine Adams was all alone on a balcony 40 feet up a cliff, smooth as glass. She didn't fall and she wasn't thrown because there was no sound of a splash. She didn't come back from the balcony because her mother and sister were in front of the house and there was no door. Not within 15 seconds. 15 seconds, mind you. She just vanished. In about half a minute now, I'm going to show you a new home.
Can we see it from here?
Oh, you sure can, ma'am. It's on the edge of the cliff. Dr. Davis's house is on one side of it, and my shack's on the other. But, that's why I want to ask you a question.
Of course. Ask anything you like.
I'm an old stager, ma'am. I'm not exactly up to the high tone society around here, but do you really trust me?
Yes, I think I do.
Then promise me something. Unless you're with somebody you do trust, keep away from that balcony.
Do you honestly think there's a danger of going?
Oh, I don't know, son. If I did know, I wouldn't have to talk this way.
But then what's a box? I thought I had it before.
The doubt station. And led by a very handsome woman to ask me for it. A neighbor of ours, the countess.
She looks like an American. I can't get eyes off her, Tom Courtney.
She is an American. Married a count. Lockheed or something like that. Just call her Nellie.
My dear Harry Granger, but he's true.
Hello, Nellie.
Well, everybody told me so, but I just couldn't believe it until I saw her. She does look exactly like poor Josephine Adams. She's just as small and just as thin. Everybody tells me.
Nellie, I want you to meet some friends of mine.
Well, you don't need to introduce me. I know who they are. You're the nice young couple who's taken that villa. I'm Nellie McKenzie. And this is my dog, Tiberius. He's named after the wicked Roman emperor. You know, you can hear the Capri. I must confess, I'm terribly fascinated by wicked things. Aren't you, Mr. Courtney?
Do you stop speaking? I haven't done anything.
No, you're not doing anything. How dare you seem to be taking quite a fancy to you, Mrs. Courtney. I've never known him to go up to a stranger before. I only wish I could borrow him. He might be a charm against it.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, we'll be at the harbor in a few minutes, and then you must let me drive you up to the gate. You won't be able to get any servants, I'm afraid, because they won't stay there, but we can camp out. Oh, now look, there's the villa. We're passing it now.
Where?
On the cliff where I'm pointing.
Stop a moment. That must be some mistake. That's not the villa for great.
Sure is, huh?
That's a palace, like all the other houses there. I rent this furniture to the equivalent of about £500 a month.
Can't you guess why you got it so cheap, sir?
Now, if you take my advice, we'll turn around and go back to Naples by the next steamer.
Oh, Harry, Granger, don't be an idiot. Let's have some excitement. Tom, it is beautiful.
True, finally beautiful, you ask me.
Now, there's the balcony.
It's all right by daylight. Marble and tapestries and whatnot. But at night, when you've got to put out the lights, and you start thinking what's happened there.
The moon of a Capri makes the deathly daylight. Who could see to read on that balcony if anyone went up there? Frosted glass doors open out of it from a big room on the ground floor, soft carpeted, and yet bleak. A warm night with the sea below. Under the snaky electric light, two determinedly calm persons and a dog, just looking at each other.
Stop it!
Oh, boy, stop looking at the balcony. I'm sorry, darling.
Why are we sitting here anyway? That's not a room that's not so comfortable.
Tom, did you ever think we'd have a lovely house like this?
The house is all right, yes. And they have to go and spoil everything. A honeymoon. With blasted Tommy Rott of...
Tom, you're as nervous now as I was this afternoon. Even Tiberius is nervous.
I think I am.
Here's the boy.
Here it is. And whiskey on the table. And they call it whiskey here. Pour yourself a drink.
Wait a minute, not this one. Whiskey. Nothing wrong with that balcony. What are they kidding us?
The whole island, please?
I've seen over every inch of the balcony is either their way up or down. The nearest house is 6 feet away. You can't tell me that girl vanished by magic. Don't you walk out on the balcony this minute?
I've had a horrible longing to try it, just because I know I shouldn't.
Nothing could attack you. I would have filled the yell. I would bring brains out on this balcony like a shot, and they're on the other side of us. He's on the other side, by the way.
And Lumi, Doctor.
What?
Especially from brain diseases. Dr. Davis, he really is true.
something in the other room. Here's it, Tiberius. Here's it.
Tom, I'm afraid.
It's all right. You heard Tiberius' call while I opened the door. Tell him to fly at anybody. My door is the other room. Very good.
All right, my dear, you know me.
Good evening, Mr. Carson.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Carson. Good evening.
I'm a Jason. You appear to the guard in his run. I'm nearly a neighbor, Dr. Rutherford Davis.
Oh, I'm yes, of course. I'm a Mr. Golden, indeed.
I trust your pardon is in Susan. No one answered my knock, so I ventured to come here.
My invasion, Dr. Davis.
Isn't it organized here, that's also
naturally.
Mr. Courtney, I wish I could say welcome to Catherine, but I have a very different message as well. Miss Courtney's life circle back in Naples immediately.
Immediately?
I do not say that as a ghost hunter, sir. I say it as a medical man.
May I sit down?
Of course, please.
Thank you.
We'll be putting our manners, Dr. Davis, to you.
Have a drink?
Thank you. Perhaps a small whiskey?
I agree, darling. You sit down and talk to Dr. Davis.
I'm not going back into that room alone.
I won't be able to get the drinks, Tom. I promise to be good. And Tiberius can come with me. Can't you, Tiberius?
I hope this is all right.
No, sir, it is not all right. Your wife is in very great danger.
Why? Because of that balcony.
No, because she looks exactly like the late Josephine Adams.
I still don't understand.
Mr. Courtney, did you ever hear of paranoia?
Some kind of mental disease, isn't it?
It's a mental disease. Mm. It can end and does end in criminal lunacy. The paranoid begins by imagining that he or she is being persecuted by someone. Persecuted by the most unlikely and harmless kind of person, as a rule. First he hears things. A voice in his brain whispers, "You'll be killed, you'll be killed, you'll be killed." He hears it in the tick of a clock, in the rattle of a train, in the footsteps on a street. And then his brain darkens still more. There are holes in the walls through which his enemy is always watching. Invisible speaking tubes bring him messages. There are pains in his joints and nightmares and attempts to poison him. His brain bursts and he kills that imaginary enemy. Excuse me for speaking so strongly. How does this affect us? Mr. Courtney, in my opinion, there's a criminal lunatic on this island. Can you imagine that poor, inoffensive Josephine Adams was his enemy, so he killed her?
Killed her? How?
I don't know.
What happened to the girl's body?
I am not a detective, sir. The body was carried out to sea, perhaps, or washed along the cliffs into the blue grotto to be lost, but...
Don't you understand the danger to your wife?
No.
Suggestions of life. If somebody's got brain, your wife is Josephine Adams. Creates it all over again.
You look sick.
Couldn't be done.
It was done, my friend.
That's a dog, huh?
Mrs. Courtney is rather a long time in getting that whiskey.
She wouldn't go near the balcony. She promised not to go on the balcony.
People do very perverse things, my friend, and they know they shouldn't.
Smoke
it. Oh, he's gone. He's gone.
An empty balcony, a howling dog, and a sea turned clear silver under the moon. Then, after the tumult and the shouting, there are other pictures. Don't you hear the noise of that motor launch with a half-demented young man at the wheel? Three other familiar figures are gathered round it. Don't you recognize the brunette prettiness of Nellie Lucchese and the white satin hat of Harry Granger and the neat pointed beard of Dr. Davis?
What a name! I don't mind Mr. Courtney borrowing my motor launch.
And so many consolation. What is it?
That poor girl's really gone.
I tried to warn him, you know, but he wouldn't be warned.
For the love of Mike, don't let the poor guy alone. Can't you see he's just about local?
What are you going to do?
I might know that one myself.
Listen, kid. All of you. It's 2:30 in the morning. 12 hours. The tide ought to be just about where it was this afternoon.
What's the tide got to do with it?
No, she's been carried out to sea. There's nothing we can do about it, but if she's been carried along with the current into the blue grot.
The blue grot?
One moment, sir. You're not proposing to run this big launch under that arc after dark?
Yes, Doctor. That's exactly what I am going to.
Oh, go on, do it. I'll back you up. Let's have some excitement.
It'll be exciting enough, I assure you. Mr. Courtney, have you got some wild hope of recovering your wife's body?
I think you've got a wild hope to save your life. She's a very strong swimmer.
You're acting like a nut, son.
Let's say it, everybody. I'm going to swim around.
We're in the current now. Get a whole time.
I've got to set my end here in the gas hole. Everybody else, drop down.
I kept trying to tell all of you. The blue grotto is such as caused by the sun's rays. There never is one except when the sun's out. And just how did our friend propose to find anything in here?
I didn't get hold of the side of the boat. What's all of you?
Not to the girl like that.
He's
not alive. The Granger. Help me to over the side. Easy. Don't get too close. I'm all right. Come on. I'm all right, Lucy. Can you hear me?
I'm all right. I'm exhausted. I got in here and I couldn't swim out of sea.
Don't try to talk.
I've got to talk. Tom, who's with you?
I'm your friend.
Who's with you? What's the matter with you?
I was just wondering the same thing. We sat under the dark at 2:00 in the morning with a criminal lunatic.
Lucy, don't hurt me so tight. Let go. I'll get the boat started and have you out of jail in a second.
Oh,
Dr. David.
Tom, I'm so scared. I know how that girl, Josephine Adams, died. Almost killed me.
Has anybody got some brandy in a torch?
I have a torch, my friend. Will you allow me as a medical man to examine Mrs. Corbett?
No.
You better keep that for a second, Doctor. She's not better. Give me the torch.
I walked into the other room. There's nobody with me. All alone. It's Tiberius.
Yes, Lucy.
Somebody called my name. From the balcony, I thought. Mrs. Courtney, said. Mrs. Courtney.
You recognize the voice?
Yes, that's where I went.
Hadn't you better start up this book down?
Let's go then.
Don't pay attention to me, Lucy. Nobody can hurt you now.
I went out on the balcony. It's bright moonlight. Bright as day. There was nobody there.
Nobody on the balcony?
No. I looked out over the sea. The one that came at me. Something flew out of the air and came at me.
Just one moment before Mr. Courtney goes on. Is anybody in this boat carrying a revolver?
Not that I know.
Well, I felt something like that metal and in the shape of a revolver back past my hand.
No, it was only the torch, probably.
Excuse me, it was not a torch. The Courtney got the torch.
Will you please let Lucy go on and finish? Lucy. We're on the balcony. Something came at you.
Yes. Yes, like a snake. Sideways. Out of the air. It went over my head and fastened around my neck. It was a rope full of running loose.
A rope?
That's it. A rope. The stone from another balcony. And small and light. Like Josephine Adams. It pulled me sideways and over the rail. I fell.
I think I begin to understand what...
I couldn't see what happened to Josephine Adams.
Take it easy now. You're perfectly safe. Is she perfectly safe?
She did fall on the rope. But the rope was jerked tight long before she struck the water. That broke her neck. Then the murderer lowered her.
Because there wasn't any splash. And the current took her away, rope and all.
That's it. It would have happened to me only.
Hold his finger.
Who's that aboard? Return that door to my friend and save it from the water. All right, Doctor. Here's your light. Look at it. Turning over and over. The foot in the blue grotto is wet now.
Come back.
It's all right, Lucy. I swear you're safe now.
Yes. Then who shoot himself?
Who had a balcony exactly like ours in the house next door? Who began life as a cowpuncher and would have known how to use a lasso? Who knew Josephine Adams well and got it into his maniac head that Mrs. Courtney was Josephine Adams all over again? Harry Granger. Can't you see his white Stetson hat smoking away?